Now those who remained standing were returning to the fray. But even the cautious optimism of previous years was not yet palpable, and there were those who whispered that it was gone forever. The economy might be improving. But Boreas was mired in steady decline, a slow, labored mortality, half-life upon half-life. This was a dying town, a failing ecosystem. But still so many stayed, for where else was there to go? Out on Burgess Road, the Sailmaker Inn remained closed, the first time in over 70 years that the grand old dame of Boreas Hotels would not be opening its doors to welcome the summer visitors. The decision to put the Sailmaker on the market had been made only the previous week. The owners, the third generation of the Tabor family to operate the inn, had returned from their Carolina winter refuge to prepare the Sailmaker for guests, and some of their seasonal staff were already occupying the residences at the back of the property. The lawn was being mowed, the dust covers taken off the furniture. And then, just like that, the Tabors had looked at their business, decided that they couldn't take the strain any longer, and announced they wouldn't be reopening after all. Frank Tabor, a good Catholic, said that making the decision had been akin to going to confession and unburdening himself of his sins. He could now go in peace and not fret anymore. The decision to close the Sailmaker sounded another death knell for the town, a further concrete symbol of its dwindling. The tourists had grown fewer and fewer over the years, and older, because there was little here to amuse the young. And more summer homes were being put up for sale, their prices pegged optimistically high at first, before time and necessity slowly whittled them down to a more realistic level. Even then, Bobby Soames, the local realtor, could name off the top of his head five houses that had been on the market for 2 years or more. By now, their owners had largely given up on them, and they functioned neither as summer retreats nor actual residences. They were kept alive by a slow trickle of heat in winter, and in summer by the flitting and scuttling of bugs. The town was founded by a family of Greeks back at the start of the 19th century, although they were long gone by the beginning of the 20th. Indeed, nobody was entirely sure how they had ended up in this part of Maine to begin with, and the only remaining clue to its origins lay in its name. Boreas, a northern outpost called after the Greek god of winter and the north wind. Was it any wonder, Soames sometimes thought, that its survival as a vacation destination had always been tenuous? They should have just named it Arctic South and had done with it. Soames was driving slowly through Boreas on this fine April morning. Everyone drove slowly through Boreas. Its thoroughfares were narrow. Even Bay Street, the main drag, was a bitch to negotiate if cars were parked on both curbs, and anyone who'd been in town longer than a wet afternoon learned to push in his side mirrors if he wanted them to be intact when he returned. And the local police liked nothing better than to meet their ticket quotas by pulling over motorists who were even fractionally over the speed limit. It might also have been something to do with the area's later Germanic heritage, which encouraged a certain sense of order and adherence to the tenets of the law. German Lutherans had first come to Maine in the middle of the 18th century, settling in what was now Waldeboro, but was then known as Broad Bay. They had been promised houses, a church, and supplies, none of which materialized, and instead found themselves marooned in a hostile landscape. They resorted to building temporary shelters and hunting local game, and the weakest among them didn't survive that first winter. Later, they fought the French and the Indians, and communities were split during the Revolutionary War between those who sided with the Americans in the cause of liberty and those who were reluctant to break their oath of allegiance to the English crown. By then, the Germans were firmly established in Maine. Sometime in the late 19th century, a bunch of them made their way to Boreas, usurped the Greeks, and had been there ever since. The town's register of voters boasted Ackermans, Baumgartners, Hubers, Kusters, Vogels, and Wexlers. Farther down the coast, in the town of Pirna, named after the town in Saxony,